All right, welcome back. You got to stop with the ultra stuff, seriously. Great. I'm glad you like it. I really am. Hey, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us this morning. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. It's the league that just keeps giving, from Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers to watching these guys hype up these pro days, throwing against air and talking about how wonderful they are. I mean, I can't wait. You know, the quarterback drives business for all of us, Mike. I know you know that, but I do want to start with Aaron Rodgers. This deal will get done at some point. I'm just curious. You think the two teams have gotten together and figured out a date on this thing specifically could happen or not?
The key in any negotiation is for the two sides to understand where the deadline is, because until the deadline arrives, there is risk in moving towards your bottom line position. If you move towards your bottom line well in advance of the deadline, the chance is that you end up getting squeezed from your final position when the deadline arrives. And we reported early in this process that the Packers are content to wait until the draft to do this deal. And that was 6 weeks away from the draft. And people are like, oh, that's too long. Well, you know, we're closer to the draft than we were. We're less than 5 weeks away from it. And that seems to be the threshold deadline. Now, for the Jets, and this is an argument that we made earlier this week, I think they need to be more aggressive. They basically need to act like New Yorkers. You're the New York Jets or New Jersey Jets. Either way, act right. Like you're from New York or New Jersey and be aggressive with the Packers. And what I would say to them, Joe, I'd say, here's your trade offer, non-negotiable, for Aaron Rodgers prior to the 2023 draft. Here's your trade package, non-negotiable, after the 2023 draft, based on 2024 and possibly 2025 draft picks. These are the two options. Because I think from the Jets' perspective, the deadline should be the start of training camp. They should make it clear we don't need Aaron Rodgers before then. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. He doesn't like coming to the offseason program anyway. So for us, it's the start of training camp. And then you get Rodgers on board with it, and he separately sends the message to the Packers, if this isn't done by the start of training camp, I'm showing up. And he has to mean it when he says it.
Right.
And he has to do the Brett Favre 2008, here I am, deal with me, because at some point they will trade him. They want $60 million fully guaranteed this year. If he shows up and he's there on the roster, they've got to trade him no later than week one, because that's when this option bonus, $58.3 million, becomes salary, and they have to pay it to him, and it's guaranteed. So they've got to move him off the roster. And I think the Jets should take a hard line, and the Jets should be content to wait until the start of training camp. But at some point between now and then, this just has to get done. I'm hoping that the Packers CEO and the Jets owner get together at the league meetings this weekend and just maybe have a drink or two and just work this thing out. Because it's not good for anybody for it to linger.
Well, let me ask you, because we had this debate the other day. Who's got more leverage on this thing right now?
Well, I think, plenty of people have just said the Packers, because the Jets really want Aaron Rodgers. Well, they're going to get him. The question is when. He will be the quarterback of the Jets this year, barring something completely and totally unforeseen and unexpected. It would basically be Rodgers waking up saying, I know I said it's my intention to play for the Jets, but, you know, my exact word was intention. I've changed my intention. And we have seen him play word games in the past, so it wouldn't shock me if he did it. But I think that the Jets have more leverage than people realize, because the Packers owe this guy $60 million fully guaranteed. They have to clear him off the roster via retirement or trade. They cannot cut him. They have to trade him. And people will say, well, he doesn't have a no trade clause. Why don't they trade him to the Rams? Why don't they trade, whoever, just pick a team, trade him there instead. Even without a no trade clause, for a franchise quarterback, for a starting quarterback, you don't want a guy who doesn't want to be on your team.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to happily show. Now, maybe he'll show up and take the $60 million, but you know, he's not going to go above and beyond. He's not going to be all in. He's not going to be a guy you need him to be if he doesn't want to be there. So the Packers really don't have any option here other than to work out a deal with the Jets. And they will. They will. But the Jets have more leverage than the Packers and people who have been supporting the Packers position would admit. And I think the Jets need to get a little tough with the Packers Because the Packers want the 13th overall pick in the draft and more. And that's just too much for a guy that they don't want anymore, that he doesn't want to be there anymore, and who knows how long he's going to play for the Jets.
There you go. No question about it. All right, so Mike, the other one is, and you had this a few days ago, Ken Francis, Lamar Jackson's business partner in this, the entire gym product that the video was out. But I'm just curious. So do we know, was Ken Francis actually calling teams or was getting ready to, because Lamar's going, this is all lies, he never did that, calling teams? Help me out on that as a guy that's not a certified agent.
He was calling teams. And Lamar's approach to anything that gets reported that he doesn't like is to call it a lie on social media and add a couple of emojis. And the Lamar Jackson fans will just kind of accept that he's telling the 100% complete and total unvarnished truth. And there's a small chance, I have to account for this possibility, Joe, small chance that Ken Francis was calling the teams without Lamar knowing. I'm not convinced by any stretch that that happened, but we have to account for the possibility that Francis was doing it on his own. But I assume that Lamar knew. I know that it happened. Multiple teams were contacted by Ken Francis. And people would say, well, why would Lamar Jackson not just admit it? Well, there's a variety of reasons why he would not just admit it. Number one, he's held himself out as representing himself. And most of these guys who represent themselves, the truth is they're just represented by somebody who isn't an NFLPA certified agent. They're still represented by someone. They have someone that is working on their behalf. They're just not paying them that percentage that the NFLPA certified agent gets. That's number one. Number two, the union's been helping Lamar Jackson. So if Lamar and Ken Francis have set up this end run with the union cut out of the process and Ken Francis making the phone calls, that potentially hurts the relationship between Lamar and the union. And finally, think of how embarrassing it is for Lamar to have somebody actively beating the bushes to get someone, anyone, to show interest in this guy, someone, anyone, to make him an offer, to engage in negotiations, and it's crickets, crickets, crickets. That's embarrassing to Lamar. That's the reason why human nature, because I'm not passing judgment here, I'm just trying to help people understand why he would deny it. That's a reason to deny it, because it's a bad look for Lamar that someone's actively trying to get teams interested and no one is interested.
Yeah, I have this vision, and we talked about it yesterday, of this guy, Ken Francis, calling the front desk of the Miami Dolphins, who will send you anywhere, the operator, and going, I'd like to go to the general manager's office. And then, can I get Chris Greer, general manager? And then you get the secretary up there and go, Ken Francis is on the phone. There's no relationship. It's just weird, unless he had numbers somehow directly to all the GMs.
He got in touch with some, I mean, I could name names and people would say, oh, man, well, yeah, he got access to somebody's Rolodex, if they even have Rolodexes anymore. Kids, Google Rolodex, you'll learn what a Rolodex is.
Yeah.
So, he was getting in touch with people. But these, look, we went through this last year when the guy named St. Omni was trying to get Roquan Smith out of Chicago.
Right.
The league sent out a memo, and the league's memo on Ken Francis came out yesterday saying you cannot negotiate with a non-certified NFLPA agent. It can only be if the player is self-represented, you can only talk to the player. And if the player has an NFLPA certified agent, then you talk to the agent. That's how it works. So these teams know they can get in trouble. And I don't know this for sure because I don't know how many teams he called, but multiple teams ended the conversation as quickly as they could because they know they can't be talking to this guy.
Right. Hey, Mike, this is a little offbeat a little bit. I don't know if you saw the recent Notre Dame story, the president and athletic director coming out.
And of course, the
NIL stuff, and they've got problems with it. But thought an idea would be the NFL start a minor league. And so I'm laughing going, the NFL's got a minor league. You're part of the minor league.
Yes.
And we're not paying for it. And we don't have to pay for it. And by the way, we'll have Pro Day, and we'll be bringing our league to your school. So get your facility ready and get us a couple of appetizers out there and a couple of drinks because we're going to be out there. Like, what are your thoughts on the whole NIL and college sports is in a crisis right now?
Well, we had an item yesterday, and it's been one of our most trafficked stories over the past 24, 36 hours about Marvin Harrison Jr. working out at the Ohio State Pro Day, and he was there, and he's not eligible to be drafted until next year. Well, why isn't he eligible to be drafted? Because the NFL and the NFLPA have a rule that you have to be at least 3 years removed from high school. Well, why is that rule there? To protect college football, to protect the free farm system that the NFL isn't paying for. So they tiptoe around college football with rules like this. It's a corrupt rule. Joe, it is corrupt, and I blame both the NFL and the union for this. To say to a kid who is 18 years old, he's old enough to go sign up for the military if he wants to, but you can't come play college football, and they give up these stupid, oh, they're too young to protect themselves. Meanwhile, Nick Saban will bring back guys in their late 20s to participate in spring practice with guys that are 18, 19 years old. I mean, that's not the reason. The reason is they want to give the colleges 3 years with these guys before they come calling. And the NIL, to me, look, this is the chaos that the system deserves, because for decades they rigged the entire college football universe against the player. Everybody was getting paid except the player. Everybody in the building, the guy selling popcorn, the AD, the broadcasters, everyone was getting paid except the players. And now, because the law prohibits it, the reckoning took way too long to happen. So the reckoning comes. Oh, it's an antitrust violation to tell these kids, not only will we not pay you, you can't go out and make money based upon the fame that you have developed by participating in this sport. You can't even do that. That's clearly a violation of the law. That's why the floodgates open. So this is the chaos that they all deserve. This is just the first installment on making it right for decades of exploiting athletes who are the reason why we follow college football. We don't follow college football for anything other than watching the game. And the guys who have been playing the game and putting their bodies on the line, those are the guys who haven't been getting paid. So, Joe, my position is whatever happens to them, whatever they whine about, whatever Nick Saban wants to cry about, because now he's got to go out and get boosters to finance both the NIL collective and the facilities and his salary. And this is going to hurt the teams that are in the smaller markets with less money. That's why he's constantly crying about it. He's going to lose in this new reality. He's not going to be able to go out and buy the best players now that you have to go buy them with this NIL money. My point is, you deserve this because it was an inherently corrupt system for decades, and now the chickens have come home to roost. Deal with it.
Boy, yeah, it's wide open right now. So, hey, I leave you with this. Your thoughts on pro days. The last 2 days or last 3 days, it's been Ohio State and now Alabama, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young and all the other, as you mentioned, great receivers and different guys from both programs that will get drafted in the first, second, and third round coming up in this draft. I just – they do it every year, and I get it, man. I get that these guys are already expected to be 1 and 2 in the draft. But this thing about the throws that they're making to their own guys against their – I don't know why, after all these years, it still drives me nuts. And they're like our top guys. They're our top guys for ESPN and NFL Network just raving about it. What are your thoughts on the whole quarterback thing and throwing? I'm guessing they got a pretty good idea how good they already are, right?
I think back to 2007 when Mike Mayock, who at the time was the preeminent draft analyst, he went on to be the GM of the Raiders. He declared that the best pro day workout he had ever seen in his entire career was performed by Jamarcus Russell. So, yeah, look, a pro day is an open book take home exam. And if you fail, that's a problem. Anything
that's
other than an A is a problem. And here's the side of it that we rarely discuss because the media has no access to these events, the private workouts. These happen when the coaches and the scouts who have packed up and flown from Carolina to Columbus and then to Tuscaloosa and then to wherever, when they go back between now and the draft for the private workout that a lot of times we don't even know happens.
True.
What happens at that private workout? That's when they make their final decision, or at least that's when there's a big factor. And I think back to Teddy Bridgewater's pro day workout from 9 years ago at Louisville. It was horrible because he took the gloves off. You know, he always plays with the gloves on. Took the gloves off, horrible pro day workout. Uh-oh, he's going to fall out of round one. Maybe he's going to fall out of round two. The Vikings had a private workout with him. He put the gloves back on. They fell in love with him. But we didn't know that until when? the Vikings trade up to number 32,
right,
and they take Teddy Bridgewater. So those private workouts are huge when it comes to really getting to the heart of what a team thinks about a guy. And we never talk about it because we're not there. The media is not there.
Good point.
We don't know about it. The teams don't volunteer the information. So that's a big part of this. We can focus on the pro days because they're there and we have access and we see them on TV. The private workouts are the key.
Mike, always great stuff, man. Really appreciate it. It's amazing. Of like four topics with quarterbacks, and we chew up the time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. See
All right. You. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the quarterback situation and the NIL and college football. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Yeah, no. Not a first-round quarterback. A first-rounder for getting you a mortgage right now. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Experience important, you betcha. He's got experience all over South Florida. More than 30 years of helping you. You can get a fixed-rate mortgage right now. It's back in the fives, so lock it in now. If you found a place you like, you're worried about the rates going the wrong way, jump on it right now. And by the way, if you're just looking to get equity out of your home, looking to get a mortgage that way for home improvements and debt consolidation, again, call Michael Kotze. He can do it fast for you. About half the time of the big banks, and not just that, but he works 7 days a week to help you out. And by the way, he's put together a really cool program for you. If you don't have great credit or you have a hard time proving your income, don't lose hope because, yes, Michael just rolled out his no income verification program. Hey, like I say, man, this guy works all the time. He's going to tell you about the reverse mortgage, one of the most popular mortgages we have here in South Florida. If you're over the age of 62 and you have equity in your home, call Michael Kotze right now about a reverse mortgage. Can help you out, get that equity out of the home for you, and you still got a place to live. Not bad at all. Hey, here's the cell phone number if you want to call him. 561-441-2730. Let's get going on this with Michael Kotze. You're going to love it. 561-441-2730. That's Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, NMLS 166-254. Rates and terms are always subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.